Hello, welcome to the Lewisburg United Methodist Church podcast. Thanks for joining us today. For sermon notes and videos related to this message, please visit lwbumc.com.
Good evening, everyone. Welcome to Lewisburg United Methodist Church for this Christmas Eve candlelight service. We're delighted you've come and made this a part of your Christmas celebration. And on behalf of myself, Pastor Tim, and
I'm Rev Bev.
We're glad you're here. And we hope that tonight's service will be a blessing to you and your family. And we welcome all in the United Methodist Church as a part of our family. All persons are welcome at the Lord's table later when we celebrate the sacrament of Holy Communion. We want you to know that we believe that all persons are sacred in God's sight, and God is reaching us all in God's own way. And so tonight, as we celebrate the birth of Christ, let our hearts be lifted and let the light of Christ truly shine in all our hearts this evening. We've been on a journey now for 4 weeks, the season of Advent. And so we want to recall tonight at the very beginning of this service the lighting of the Advent candles. You'll recall with me that the first candle is the candle of hope. And certainly the world needs hope. The second candle is the candle of peace. May there be peace on earth tonight and every night. The third candle is the candle of love. God so loved the world that he gave his only son. And the fourth candle is the candle of joy. Joy to the world, the Lord is come. Let earth receive our King. If you're able now, we invite you to stand and join with us in this litany of Christmas, which is the reading of the Christmas story. And it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. And this taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria. And all went to be taxed, every one unto his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, into Judea, unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David.
To be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered.
And she brought forth her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. O come, all ye faithful, let us sing. Seated. Let the Christmas story continue. And there were in that same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night.
And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid.
And the angel said unto them, Fear not. For behold, I bring you the good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people.
For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord.
And this shall be a sign unto you. You shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger.
And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men and women.
And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, Let us now
go even to Bethlehem, and see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord hath made known to us.
And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger.
And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which had been told them concerning this child. And all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds.
But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart.
And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen, as it was told unto them.
Let us stand again as we are able and sing this song of Christmas praise. Standing and join together with one voice this focused verse for the Christmas story. Let us read it together.
And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace and goodwill to all.
You may be seated.
There's a wonderful story that I love to tell about a tiny little baby named Jesus. So gather around me now and listen well. About a tiny little baby named Jesus. It happened oh so long ago, amid the cold of the winter snow. He came from heaven to the earth below. This tiny little baby named Jesus.
Glory to God in the highest,
and on
Let us pray. O Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of all our hearts together in this place be acceptable in your sight, for you are our rock, you are our redeemer. Amen. Paul Christie and his wife Jamie were good friends of Reva and me while we were in school from 1985 to 1988. And one evening, Paul came home from a little project he was working on for one of the staff members at the university. It's how Reva and I and Paul and Jamie made extra funds. We would do projects. And Paul was working on this lady's telephone lines. Now, he was not a telephone repairman, as you can imagine, but he was doing the best he could. Unfortunately, 30-plus years ago, there weren't cell phones, so your landline was all you had. And this lady who worked at the university, somehow Paul cut her line. Completely dead. He tried everything he could think of. Nothing would work. So he went to a neighbor's house, borrowed the phone, called the phone company, and said, "Ma'am, I have done something awful. I have cut or disturbed or disrupted this lady's phone line next door. And I was just wondering, is there any way that you could send someone out here to fix it?" And the lady on the other end of the line said, "I'm really sorry, sir, but it's Friday, and just about everybody's projects are completed, and I don't think we'll be able to get there till next week on Monday. In fact, it won't be Monday because Monday is a holiday weekend, so it probably won't be till Tuesday." Paul said, "I understand. Thank you for trying to help me today, even though it won't be till Tuesday." Paul was just about ready to say goodbye when that voice on the other end of the line said, "Wait a minute. What did you say?" "I said, thank you for trying to help me." And then she said to him, "I'm on this phone all day long with irate customers. And none of them thank me, very little, but they especially don't thank me if I haven't been able to help them. You just hold the line." She came back on in a minute. She says, "I found somebody getting off work, and they're willing to come by." And in a few minutes, there was a repairman at the door, and the phone line was fixed. I'd like to suggest to us all tonight that the world could do with a little more goodwill. That is the last crescendo word of the choir tonight. Goodwill. Do you know what goodwill is? Goodwill is just kindness. Goodwill just means that you have a pleasant attitude, a pleasant outlook on life. If life gives you lemons, you learn how to make lemonade out of it. Goodwill is what God said is coming to us from Him through Jesus. Hear once more the words of those angels. "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace and goodwill to all." So how much goodwill is there in your life right now? Don't elbow one another, because I'll catch on quick. Let me just take a brief moment to suggest a few things that goodwill means. First and foremost, goodwill means that all people matter. Regardless of their station, regardless of their path in life, in God's sight, all people matter. Regardless of race, regardless of ethnicity, regardless of religion, regardless of orientation, all people matter to God. Secondly, goodwill means that we always don't get back what we give. In other words, if a person is actively pursuing goodwill in the world, they stop asking, well, what's in it for me? And they start saying, what can I do to make the world a more kind and better place? And by the way, if you didn't know this already, you can't control what you get in this world from other people. The only thing you can control is what you give to others. Give goodwill. Thirdly, goodwill means that we must learn to let go of past hurts. I suspect there's not a person in this place this evening who hasn't somewhere in their lifetime been hurt by something someone said or did to you, towards you, or towards someone that you love dearly. We must learn to let it go. Regardless of how deeply it hurts, the memory of it will only cause us to feel more bitter and more angry, and we must learn to move on. One of my favorite stories along this line was about a man who went to see a counselor for advice. You see, his marriage was really in bad shape, and he wanted out of the marriage. But he didn't just want out. He wanted to hurt this woman that at one time he had loved. And he wanted to hurt her as much as possible. And so he said to the counselor, tell me what I can do. The counselor said, I've got an idea for you. This is if you really want to hurt her emotionally and every other way, here's what you do. For the next 3 months, treat her like a princess. Love her, bring her flowers, take her gifts, take her out to dinner, do some housework. Treat her like she's the most wonderful woman in the world, and then suddenly just pack your bags one day when she's gone and leave. It'll kill her. So he did it. A few months later, the counselor ran into this man out on the street, and he said, so, how's bachelor life treating you? What do you mean? You know, after you dumped your wife, how are you getting along? You got to be kidding. I'm married to the most wonderful woman in the world. My friends, you can't control what you get. You can only control what you give. And you must let go of the past and believe that today is a new day, a new beginning to start fresh in being and living the way God wants us to live. Goodwill means that we must learn to be happy for other people. That's right. When our children were younger, and one of them got something and the other didn't, we would just say, can't you be happy for your sister? Can't you be happy for your brother? And they would grudgingly say, yeah, I guess so. We as adults need to learn how to be happy for others. But do you know what the secret to learning how to be happy for other people is? To try our best, even though as difficult as it can be, learn to walk in their shoes for a mile. Learn what it's like to be them. Several years ago, when Reva and I served in the Huntington area, Cabell Huntington Hospital went on a strike. But it wasn't all the people in the hospital that were striking. It was just the service personnel, the people who fixed all of the equipment, the people that kept the machines running, the people who did the laundry. And for about a month, as this strike drug on, it was required of all the nursing staff and other staff who weren't in the strike to go and do the jobs of the other service personnel. One nurse who was a member of our church came up to me and she said, Tim, I've got to say to you honestly, I had no idea how difficult the job is in the laundry room at this hospital. I got off work at my regular shift and was required to go and work in the laundry room for 3 hours. And that's hard work. I have a whole new sense of appreciation for those folks and the work that they do. I used to think that their work was insignificant. It didn't matter as much as my work as a nurse. But now I realize that we're a team. And then when one part of the team doesn't do their job, the other part of the team suffers. My friends, goodwill means that we learn to be happy for each other and understand that everybody's going through their own struggles. What can we do to help one another rather than to push one another down? Fifthly, goodwill means that we will never attempt to do anything to ruin or harm another person's life. No matter how badly we might disagree with them, no matter how badly we don't like what they do or how they treat other people, Jesus said that we must learn to love even those who would be our enemies. We must learn to treat everyone with kindness. And so when the angel said to the shepherds and to us, let there be peace and goodwill, this is what they were calling us into. The last and final thing I'd like to suggest tonight that goodwill means is that goodwill means we must allow the King of goodwill to reign in our hearts. You see, my friends, if the King of goodwill, Jesus Christ, is not reigning in our hearts, then Christmas is just one day a year. If we really want this feeling that comes on this beautiful evening to continue on forward in our lives, we must learn to ask the most simple, powerful question of all. What would Jesus do? And I guarantee you tonight that Jesus would urge us to bring more goodwill into the world through the way we live and through the way we treat one another. And so, my friends, let us spend more time preparing for Jesus rather than preparing for Christmas. We do all kinds of things to prepare for Christmas, but the real secret to this season is to prepare for Jesus to abide and to live and to direct our lives. And that's not an easy task, but with God's help, may each of us find a new place in our lives to reach out to this baby born on this blessed night and say, Jesus, help me to be one of your ambassadors, one of your disciples of goodwill in the world. And maybe, maybe just maybe, the next time we're on the phone with someone like a telephone operator repair person, they might notice that there's something different in the way we respond. There are so many things in my life I wish I could go back and change. Things I could go back, wish I could do different. I wish I had said different or hadn't said. But I can't. All we can do is go forward from here. May God give us the strength to go forward from here with goodwill. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, let those who believe say amen. And now as our ushers come forward, let us prepare to offer not just our gifts in the offering basket, but let us also prepare to offer our lives anew and afresh to God on this night. Ushers.
Of the dear Savior's birth.
we thank you that you are the giver of life, the giver of love, and the giver of your son, Jesus. Thank you for the opportunity tonight to give in your honor, in your name, for your glory. Yes. Amen.
Amen. You may be seated. As we said earlier, in the United Methodist Church, all who are seeking Christ and intending to lead a new life following after his ways are welcome at his table. Will you join with us now as we prepare our hearts with this prayer of great thanksgiving? The Lord be with you.
Lift up your hearts.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right and a good and a joyful thing always and everywhere to give thanks to you, Almighty God, creator of heaven and earth. You created light out of darkness, and you brought life on the earth. You formed us in your image and breathed into us the breath of life. When we turned away and our love failed, your love remained steadfast. You delivered us from captivity, made covenant to be our sovereign God, and spoke to us through your prophets.
In the fullness of time, you gave your only Son, Jesus Christ, to be our Savior. And at his birth, the angels sang, "Glory to you in the highest, and peace to your people on earth." And so, with your people on earth and all the company of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn.
Son Jesus Christ, as Mary and Joseph went from Galilee to Bethlehem and there found no room. So Jesus went from Galilee to Jerusalem and was despised and rejected.
As in the poverty of a stable Jesus was born, so by the baptism of his suffering, death, and resurrection, you gave birth to your church, delivered us from slavery to sin and death, and made with us a new covenant by water and the Spirit.
As your word became flesh, born of woman, on that night long ago, so on the night in which he gave himself up for us, he took bread. He gave thanks to you, and he broke the bread. He gave it to his disciples, and he said, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me."
When the supper was over, he took the cup. He gave thanks to you and gave it to his disciples and said, "Drink from this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it, in remembrance of me." And so, in remembrance of these mighty acts in Jesus Christ, we offer ourselves tonight in praise and thanksgiving as a holy and living sacrifice in union with Christ offering for us as we now proclaim the mystery of faith.
Thank you for listening to this teaching from the Lewisburg United Methodist Church. We pray that you are blessed by God's Word. For additional teaching, resources, and podcasts, as well as who we are and our upcoming events, please visit our website, lwbumc.com.